What's up, guys, and welcome to We Need to Talk Weekly. We'll be dropping bonus episodes every week with a weekly recap of what's been going on. These are my thoughts and my thoughts only, and my intention behind this is to spark conversation amongst my community to keep the conversation moving forward. So what's up, guys? We need to talk. And today I have a very special guest in the building. We got Dame Retta joining me, OG exec. Wait, why are you laughing at that?
Because I'm just getting old. I'll probably have some old takes.
You know, no, it's not. When I say OG, it's just respect. Like, you've been doing this.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I've been working in music for a while now. So,
yeah.
I mean, I expect it. I got some grays coming in. I was watching a clip. We did a documentary for the label I used to run, and we shot it in 2011, 2012. And just looking at that person versus, you know,
who you are now.
You know, a lot less hair. grays, like, you know, the skin, you know, I'm getting older. It's just what it is.
So yeah.
It's all good.
If it makes you feel any better, I've been called an OG too.
That's wild.
No, I'm serious.
No. When you get to know Nia a little bit better, you'll understand why.
No.
She's like 80, bro.
Wow, okay. No, I mean like interns and stuff like that. People just feel like if you're knowledgeable, you know, and you've been doing it longer than that, they just throw it on you.
It's like getting called
auntie. I got called auntie too. Auntie OG, it's like...
No, I think it's just because you carry yourself with a little bit more professionalism. Mm. You sharp, you know, you're not rough around the edges. And then maybe they think that's old, but that's, to me, is somebody that takes this shit serious.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely not old.
That's a good point.
That was so complimentary.
It's just everybody else needs to step their game up. That's what it is.
I agree.
Man, this guy, he's charming. This guy's charming.
Hey, not one lie told so far. But Dame, for those who don't know, you already mentioned you used to run a label, but for those who aren't familiar with who you are and your track record, can you just talk to us about your journey in music?
Yeah, so I didn't even know I was going to be in music. Like, coming up, I was just a fan of music. And even going to college and going into the corporate world, you know, I worked for big companies like Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, and Deloitte.
Were you in finance?
No, I was an auditor for Wells Fargo. And then I was in operations for Goldman Sachs. I worked overseas in London. So basically all that to say, like, music didn't even enter my mind until I got laid off from Deloitte and my little brother hit me up. He was going to UC Irvine at the time saying, yo, I want to drop out of school and do music. And just cause the timing lined up with me getting laid off, I was like, all right, let me just help him out. You know, he had a friend of his named Hobson who went to high school together. He was in an equally frustrated position, but different. He was signed to Ruthless Records at the time.
Mm.
So we had to get him out of his situation that we could start our own independent label called Funk Volume. And that was how I got stuck in music.
That's his villain aura story, how I got stuck in music. But wow, that's fire.
Yeah.
Okay, so you started your own independent label. That's in the 90s?
No.
Man, you really think he's on shit.
Records.
It still existed. This was 2000. This is like 2008.
It still existed?
At that time, it was ran by Eazy-E's wife.
Okay.
But they weren't really doing much.
Oh, okay. That's why I was like, Ruthless Records.
Yeah, and so it still existed, but it wasn't,
like,
you know,
prominent.
It wasn't like, you know, back in the day.
Got it. So, okay. Yeah. That's the only reason why I said 90s. Sorry, I'm like, Ruthless? Eazy-E?
Yeah, no, I'm not that old.
I'm like, damn, she really took that OG thing to
oh my
heart.
God, don't do that. All right, so talk to me about Funk Volume. Love the name, by the way.
Yeah.
Funk Volume.
No, we did our thing. We did our thing from 2008. Well, it took a few years for it to be something. I think in 2011 is probably when we hit our stride. You know, we were independent, then we picked up Dizzy, right, and Jaron Benton. You know, as an independent label, we had three consecutive years on the freshman cover. So we had Hop, and then Dizzy, and then Jaron. So there's not too many independent labels that can say they had a run like that, you know. So we were doing our thing until it crashed and burned in 2015, 2016. Me and Hop butted heads in the most ridiculous fashion ever. And, you know, just kind of picked up the pieces since then. I'm still in music. I'm the director of communications for a music distribution company called Two Loss, the best music distribution company.
Stamp it.
Called Two Loss.
Mm-hmm. Good. You can look at that camera when you got to make a point like that.
Okay, that's what I hit. Yeah. The best music distribution company out there. use the code. I think you have
certified.
A code too. Okay, use certified. Don't use my code. Use certified.
Yes.
To get 3 months free music distribution.
Their interface is fire. Benefits is fire. Tracking all your analytics also fire. I just did a walkthrough, so that's how I know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's the best platform out there. And then I don't manage any music artists anymore. Like the. I don't think I will ever do that again. But I manage Big Ja, who's a comedian, director, actor, I mean, multi-talented. And then a young lady named Persephone, who also has a podcast, is in a lot of Big Ja's skits. So she acts, hosts, things like that. So I still work with creators. And like I said, at Two Loss, I'm introduced to new artists all the time. So I still feel like I'm in it, kind of knowing what's going on. But yeah, so that's what I'm working on now.
I love that you have worn so many hats. I feel like that's just a part of being in the music industry. You don't really start off with one thing and stick to it. You kind of dabble into different things.
Yeah.
But I'm curious more about your experience, because you said it crashed and burned. And I feel like a lot of times when things crash and burn, it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And then you kind of don't even want to participate in it at all.
Yeah.
So like, how did you recalibrate and like say, you know what, I'm gonna go this direction?
Yeah, I mean, you realize once you have so much experience in something, it's kind of hard to pivot to something else. I mean, and I could go back to doing what I was doing before, consulting or something like that, you know, but I felt like I built up so many relationships, I got so much experience, so much knowledge kind of doing what I was doing. I still wanted to apply it and work with creators going forward, just in a different capacity. So I did start the Music Entrepreneur Club, but that wasn't really a business. That was more so, you know, just understanding that education is important. A lot of these artists are, you know, running through the music industry, not even learning the business that they say they want a career in.
Yeah.
So I thought it was important to start that. That had different phases. And even to this day, it's more of like a podcast where we just give and game just from our perspective, actually being on the ground doing it. You know, because there's a lot of stuff that you can learn in books, but there's so much stuff that's not going to be in a Donald Passman book, because if you haven't done it, then you don't know what kind of conversations to have with artists. You don't know how to manage expectations. You don't really know, like, how to do it independently, you know, in 2024. So I just felt like it was important to just start that platform. Now, you know, this was in like 2016. Now there's a lot of other platforms that I respect that have great perspectives. And, you know, I try to pour into those folks and those platforms as well and amplify what they're doing, because, you know, it is possible to make a career in music these days. It's just still difficult.
Yeah. No, salute to you for being willing to pour into other people who aren't aware and even just waving the flag like, hey, you know, free game, just because it is really hard to find people who are willing to put you on. And a lot of people don't want to teach, like, because I had to learn the hard way. They want you to learn the hard way, too.
Yeah.
So, like, big salute to you for that.
You got a tribe. I feel like, I don't know, maybe, I mean, again, we don't know each other that well, but I feel like you surround yourself with great people that, you know, that hopefully can help you stay away from some of the mistakes that maybe other people make at this age.
Yeah, I got a tribe now.
Okay.
I got a tribe now, but it was a lot of falling in the beginning.
Yeah.
And even then, like, it's different layers to it, how we're talking about you and, like, the different hats you're wearing. So as I'm, like, growing and trying new things, you know, you need like different mentors for different phases of your life.
For sure.
Like currently, obviously, Angie Martinez was like my first one. She helped me just get my foot in the door, followed by Charlamagne, who really helped me like just navigate the media space currently and taught me how to like get money. And then now I have Cortez Bryant, who obviously is an exec, worked with Drake, Wayne, and Nicki Minaj. So I'm like, I learned so much, but I say on the exec side, it was hard for me to find somebody who was willing to believe in like what I'm trying to do. And I'm really New York is hard is hard. People are cold here. They're not opening up. But I'll say like Angie's different. She's a New Yorker, but she got a different heart. Charlamagne, not from New York, and we're both from the South, and we just connected, so that worked out. And then Tez, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for all the mentors, but you're one of those anomalies, I would say.
Like, yeah, no, you need people, especially as an artist, if you're looking for a manager or something, like you need somebody that has experience in how you want to build your career. right? And mm-hmm. I kind of maybe kind of shift in terms of what you were just talking about. But like for an artist, if an artist wants to sign, if an artist wants to be the biggest artist in the world, you know, that needs different resources than somebody that wants to build a sustainable business, you know, spend their time with their family.
Yep.
You know, don't care if they're recognized when they go out in public. So it really just depends. You got to find the people that have experience doing it the way you want to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Nope. That's a great point.
Did you claim that you're from the South? You finally claimed that?
She did. And she told me before that she was from Maryland.
Did you finally claim that?
I was confused. I thought maybe I wasn't listening or...
I do not want these socks to show. Sorry. But what I will say is I'm an Army brat, so I be set tripping sometimes. It's complicated. I hate when people be like, where are you from? Because I'm like...
Well, okay. I mean, for years, I've been telling you're from the South.
But and I'm not from... This is the problem, because people from y'all, neck of the woods, Boston, New York, whatever, look at Maryland as the South. Then you got people from the South who look at Maryland as the North. You know what I'm saying?
Like, is it below like the Mason-Dixon?
Yeah, but it doesn't...
All right, so you're from the South, man. You got to claim that.
It's such a complicated question, but... anyway, damn, man. Why are you pulling my card like that?
I was a minor detail for me. I wasn't judging. You could be there for all you want.
This is an ongoing back and forth between us. So anytime I get an inch, I take it. I have to.
Oh, pause.
Oh, wow. Jesus. Pause. That was crazy. That was crazy. That was crazy.
I forgot I was in New York.
Yo, that was crazy.
Yes, the home of Cam and me. So you know it's nonstop up here.
My goodness.
But
I gotta be on my P's and Q's.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Especially around her. She's really the catalyst for this.
Anyway. Okay. Speaking of catalyst, we're talking about Music Entrepreneurs Club and just pouring into people.
Yeah.
And talk to me about what made you want to start that. Like, was it one of the people that you're managing? Well, not managing, but that you're working with now? You are managing.
No, well, no music artist. Yeah. What really made me want to start it was because that was one of the reasons why I felt like my label crashed and burned. It was just a lack of education.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like if artists learn the business, you know, there's still going to be some dust-ups here and there, whether it's because of money or ego or whatever, but at least you can be kind of on an even playing field in terms of what we're talking about when it comes to the business. Like, it's really hard to have a conversation with an artist that has no idea what they're talking about when it comes to the business or what, you know, I mean, I guess fair can be subjective sometimes, but like what's typical, you know, why certain people get paid certain things. Like, if you don't, it's extremely difficult to have a conversation with an artist that just doesn't get it, you know, doesn't understand publishing, doesn't understand how money flows, like just, so that stuff is super important. And I feel like if an artist does understand the business, they understand like the importance of the people on their team, they can respect and value each member of their team, you know, and like I said, it's less likelihood of something going south.
Understood. Talk to me about, do you know how many hats that you have worn in the industry? Because there's people who have came up to me, even this past weekend when I was in Charlotte, they was like, you know, I want to work in music, but I do this, and I kind of want to do this, and I want to do that. And I literally told them, yo, do it all. Like, do it all and keep doing it all till you can't no more. You know, one of them is going to take you further, or one of them is going to... How many hats have you worn?
I mean, as a manager, I mean, label owner... Manager, I mean, but then a manager can be broken down, especially when you're doing it from the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, you driving, you selling merch.
Oh, yeah.
You're the fake security guard. you're the tour manager.
Yeah.
You know, but social media manager, marketing, you know, at first would be before we had a booking agent. I was booking the tour. Like, you do everything.
Yeah.
You know, when you run in a label, or even as an individual artist, there's really like five businesses in one. Right, you're making the music. There's a touring side, a publishing side, management side. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot that artists have to build in order to really be successful in this. And that's why, you know, I just try to help as much as possible because I've seen it. I've done it. I know what it takes to be successful. And I just don't want not having the information being the reason why, you know, some young talent doesn't make it.
So it's safe to say that's normal. Do it all.
Yeah, I made a video about this recently. You should move like you will always have to do this by yourself because you never know when you're going to get legitimate help.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, somebody might offer to help, but that might not be the right person. You know, that's probably putting the wrong person in a role is worse than having no help at all. Mm. Just move like you are never going to get help until you do come across somebody that genuinely wants to live up to the type of support that you need. And every artist needs somebody different.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes artists take on responsibilities and they got that. They got social media. They know how to shoot videos. They know how to make beats. You know, you just have to acquire as many skills as possible so that you can be, you know, self-sustaining. But eventually, if you're making noise and you're starting to get some traction, you know, somebody will probably, you'll probably meet somebody at some point. But until then, just move like you're never going to get help.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. Shout out to you, Dame, for real, because you really practice what you preach, even how we even got here today. You know, I don't know how you and Alex actually connected. I have no idea, but.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just reached out through him, through Jay-Zac, because I'd been a fan of the Music Entrepreneurs Club for, like, years up to that point. And to his credit, he's just always been kind of like a helping hand. Like, if I had questions, he would just answer them. So it was just like, damn, like, this guy's actually genuine.
Fire.
He wants to see people win.
Nah, I mean, I think at this age, you know, it's not only about recognizing, like, artist talent, but I feel like there are certain qualities of individuals that, like, really want to make it in music in general. So, like, young professionals, you can kind of see. So I don't respond to everybody and anybody that reaches out, but I feel like if you're starting to do the work and, you know, I see that, you know, you probably have a lot of potential doing it on the business side, you know, I'll support when I can or how I can. Just, you know, just don't get mad at me if I don't hit you right back, because, you know, it gets busy sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially as you start having more success, or, you know, you start doing things that, you know, lots, and there's so many different ways for people to hit you up these days, like emails, DMs, texts, you know.
I ain't looking at that.
Yeah. I just do the work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think ultimately good people flock to good people. So, you know, hopefully eventually you'll be able to build your tribe. So.
Yep, I agree with that. Okay, this is my last question interviewing you, because this is supposed to be more debate, but I'm just curious. Okay. Have you gotten, or like, I guess what would be the best approach in reaching out to people? Because I know I be getting DMs and emails, same thing. And, you know, some people like flirt with me and then ask me to play their record and just be like, yo, like, I'm, you know, pick one. You're automatically on my shit list if you do that type of vibe. But I'm sure you get the same thing. Like, people feel entitled to your knowledge or to, like, your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I do a lot of, I mean, people that I don't respond to, just tap into what I'm doing. You know, there's a lot of stuff there's a lot of things that you can get just from the podcast, or hopefully my tweets and the content that I create on Instagram. You know, networking is a skill, and, you know, you can't just be out there hitting everybody up with nothing that you have going on. There might not be no mutual interest in what you bring to the table. So I would, sometimes you have to wait to hit somebody up. Like, there's a lot of people I have access to, but I don't just be hitting them up, or I'm not just going to go tweet and tag them in a tweet just to let everybody else know that I know this person or do something weird.
That's tacky.
That's probably step number one. Just don't be weird. Yeah. Yes, I know it's hard for people to not be weird.
I mean, you must have experienced a lot of weird people, because you keep saying that.
It's the weirdest industry that I've ever been a part of, because I've been in finance, and then as a consultant, you know, you work in different industries and whatnot, but it's an industry that doesn't really require like a certification or a certain level of years of experience, so you're going to get more weird interactions than most like if, even if you're a plumber, you gotta, I'm assuming, have to pass.
At least have the trade.
Yeah, yeah, get some kind of certification, but there's none of that in music.
Yeah.
So you're gonna, when I was running the label, I mean, that was kind of one of the things that I loved about it is like throughout the day, I could be, you know, interacting with a brand. I could be interacting with an artist's family member, something going on.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many, there's the range of people that you have interaction with is huge, which is cool and, you know, can sometimes be a hot mess, but.
People skills gotta be strong.
Yeah, so just wait, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times when you're, just follow the people that you wanna work with and learn, like, you know, what they need.
Yeah.
Just learn the type, because I'll sometimes post exactly what I need.
Yeah.
You know, somebody might, you might follow somebody and they might be in your town and they're just looking for a good restaurant or somebody that can, you know, won't mess up their hair or something like that.
Yep.
You know, you can provide value in different ways, but you don't have to rush and reach out to somebody just because you feel like you have access to. Just wait. You don't have nothing to bring to the table. Nothing about what you're doing stands out. So you shouldn't have an expectation that they even respond to what you're doing. So,
that's real.
So be patient.
Great advice.
Yeah.
I love that. Patience. That's what you always like to tell me, too.
Proactive patience. I mean, I think I made that up, but proactive patience. It's like you have to be patient, but in the meantime, be working on your shit. Building something special, you know? So while you're waiting for, you know, a time when you need to reach out to somebody in particular, be building something special so that when that connection happens, you can present what you've been building and it makes, you know, that much more sense.
I love that. Yeah, that's great advice. Well, I'm patiently building. We need to talk up so I could be considered in this conversation, Hip Hop Media Big Three.
Okay.
That has been,
What a segue.
You know, that conversation has been going on, I think,
Adam 22
out in LA brought it up saying that the Hip Hop Big Three was Adam 22, mm-hmm. Academics, and Joe Budden.
No, Vlad. Oh, he said Vlad.
Oh, Adam said Vlad. And I'll let you do this because you came up with these topics. I'm sorry.
All right. So basically, with, you know, the great hip hop debate of many decades of like, yeah, who is the Big Three, you know, per decade, whatever the case is. Obviously, Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick Lamar, yep, has been a hot button topic. So Adam 22 actually posed that question to Drake and was like, who is the hip hop media Big Three? And he said it was himself with No Jumper, Vlad, and Academics. So then Drake rebutted him and was like, you can never put DJ Vlad over Joe Budden. Mm-hmm. So we started talking and we were like, who is the actual media, like hip hop media Big Three? And like, I guess it's like, what do you go for in terms of like the media that you listen to? And, you know, what would be your Big Three of media? Cause like, I don't know if I would ever put those three in my media Big Three.
Even the one that he swapped it out for.
Yeah.
I'm not putting Vlad in it either.
Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe Joe Budden for me.
Yeah. Respect to Vlad for sure. Credibility wise, but he also covers such a wide range. They kind of offer different things. Like Vlad is more like documentary style, where like Joe was actually commentating on like what's going on. But I just think it's blasphemy that nobody included Charlamagne. Maybe I'm biased, maybe I'm not, but I think it's undeniable. Like, we're talking about, you know, people were saying hip hop is dying, blah blah blah, it's the 50th, and then now we got Future and Metro Boomin shaking things up. And then Charlamagne's even on the project. Like, they got his voice being sampled, mm-hmm, on the album. So I feel like it's ridiculous to include a Big Three and not include the voices that are actually monitoring and commentating on the things that are actually happening. Like, documenting, I feel like doesn't really... I'm not going to say it doesn't count, because I do interviews too, but it's like a different... Like, the podcast episodes that drop Monday through Friday are not the same as this conversation that we're having, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I would have to put the Breakfast Club in there. Like, to me, I don't see how you omit the Breakfast Club. That makes no sense to me. it's hard for me to separate just like my personal body, because I'm not really a fan of Adam 22 and what just what they do. I don't respect their approach to, you know, I guess you call it hip hop media. It's just a different lane, and I just think the integrity on a lot of these platforms is low.
Yep.
It's super low. So, you know, I don't even like being a part of a conversation like, because I don't really consider them like respectable platforms. But that's just me. I understand why people watch their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they have an audience. You know, even somebody like Academics, it's wild. Like, that's why I like talking to people like you, because I feel like there's no more Sways. Like, after Sway, we didn't really get anybody that just really cares about the culture, you know, knows about the culture. After Sway, that's why for a second when we were coming up, we had Team Backpack. That's why I supported Team Backpack, because there were young cats that really, you know, cared about the culture. And that's why I respect what you're doing. But I feel like we need, instead of even having conversations around the big three of Vlad and, you know, Adam 22 and these platforms, they're really just, you know, driven by money and clicks.
Yes, man.
You know, I prefer to just uplift the other platforms that, because I've kind of tapped out of hip hop. I listen to more like Mark Lamont Hill and what he's got going on. Or there's a young lady that was recently on The Breakfast Club that has her own, Miss O'Loren.
Was she the one with Eric Adams?
She
had the interview. She's
got a cool little thing going with her friend. Like, I'm more so tapped into people that are talking about like worldly things, things that are affecting the community.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to hear about what, you know, Sexy Red is doing. I'm showing my age. I'm not knocking anybody that's in tune with that stuff. But, you know, I'm past all that. But Big Three, I would just put The Breakfast Club up there.
I like Sway. So I think Sway's still in there because a lot of his freestyles are still going viral.
So then I guess like rebuttal is probably not the right word, but like, do you think there is journalistic platforms in hip hop today that are still, you know, that still cover it, and maybe not even like OGs like Sway or The Breakfast Club, but are there younger platforms that skew younger that do a good job of
doing that? Can I chime into this? I think that it's no longer platforms, it's people. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because these bigger platforms aren't hiring the right people who are targeting like the now. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, you know, like Rob Markman, for example, super passionate, definitely like does his research, states the facts. He works at Genius, but it's not like Genius is propping him up to be the figurine and like take his lead on, you know what I'm saying? Because he has his finger on the pulse, he has to do his through like Twitter. You know, he does like short form videos on Twitter. So now it's like, it's no longer these publications leading. It's now like people, which is why Academics is actually, you know, leading and even in the conversation of the Big Three, because him as a person, he's so much in the mix that Drake is sending him the record early, you know, to play on live and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, like, now it's just a different,
time. That's what kind of messed it up, right? Because, you know, it used to be more about celebrating the arts, the culture, the artists. But then once we got social media and we can celebrate ourselves and we can put ourselves first, I think that was kind of the beginning of the end for hip hop journalism.
So it's all personality driven. There's no more. Yeah.
And you know, you start getting a bunch of money and, you know, building these platforms, and it's about money first, and it's not about the music, it's not about the artists, which is unfortunate. I mean, you know, get your money, build your business, but, you know, there's definitely a big hole for, you know, people that have some integrity.
So. Yeah, that's why I like that when Kendrick said, it's a lot of goofies for the check. I mean, I felt that. I'm like, yo, I be online, and just as like a media personality, I feel like it's a circus, and I don't really be wanting to be a part of the zoo. Yeah. Like, I mean,
there is some things to learn from the people that are winning. I mean, you don't have to adopt the lack of integrity, but just in terms of like, you know, the showmanship,
yeah.
the, you know, there's other reasons why they're like, they're what they do. They're good at what they do and yep. they're good at grabbing attention. But you know, I just wish there was more young folks out there that, you know, really cared about the music. And I'm going to keep connecting with those people, trying to support those people. You know, even if they never get to be as big as, you know, DJ Academics or some of these other folks.
So then what are you guys' opinions on, like streamers, right? Cause I think that has become like a yeah. major outlet for a lot of artists to break through. So like Kai Cenat, someone like Aiden Ross, this other streamer named Speed, like, do you think there's a way for that to be like the new version of like journalistic, for like journalists to be able to break through?
I think it could be if they wanted to, but to me, I see it more as entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm not looking for like a profound or something new. You know what I mean? Like, it would be something new as far as like lifestyle. You know, like Tyler went to Kai Cenat's stream or whatever. Even Nikki went to Kai Cenat's stream and she's up here dancing, doing the hips. Like, I think it shows people more. That's not shade.
Oh, okay.
She ate it. I don't want no problem with the bar. but all I'm saying is, like, I think the streamers are showing more so lifestyle, mm-hmm. where, like, it's just a different lane. Yeah. Like, it's not as in-depth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, but people are going to go where, you know, artists are going to want to promote their music on whatever
is hot
and what's going to get them the most exposure. I've never really sat down and watched a stream from Kai Cenat or I don't really know. I just see clips of what they do and it really just looks like they're having fun, like, you know, just having a good time. So I don't know if I'll put them in the same bucket as like, you know, potential journalists, but, you know, I think like with Gillian Wallow, I think Gillian Wallow are cool. Mm-hmm. You know, they have good chemistry.
They do.
You know, the drink champs, I wish they wouldn't drink as much. You know, as you get older, especially, you know, old black folks drinking too much, they be slamming them drinks on that show. I hope sometimes they put water in some of the glasses and they just act
like, they should.
But cats be on there just getting wasted.
Going crazy.
Oh, it's a setup. It's a perfect setup.
So yeah, I think what they do is cool. It's a good celebration of typically, like, you know,
legacy
acts. So there's platform. I mean, the great thing is there's content out there for, you know, whatever your vibe is. I think it may not be as big as Academics, but you can find the stuff that you know makes sense. So. You know, for me, I need a good combination. I like to stay up on what's going on in popular culture, but it's also, you know, it's politics stuff, it's community stuff, it's sports stuff. So I got to get, you know, a good variety of information.
Well, I'm glad you brought up $1 million worth of game.
Wait, all right,
go ahead, do your thing.
Yeah, because that's going to take us down a whole different tangent. But before we do this, I just want to say that's why The Breakfast Club should be on the list, because they've actually expanded past hip-hop media.
It got to be on a list. It's wild. The Breakfast Club has to be on that list.
Yeah, they're interviewing presidential candidates, and they've expanded it. So to your point, you can still listen and chime in and not. You'll get the sexy red tea, but then you'll also get a little bit more. But I just want to say, for me, I think, you know, I want to highlight Angie just because she's a woman in this space and she's been able to rebrand herself and keep up with the times, especially with her podcast in real life right now. And then I want to pick a media big three. Well, I do.
So just a non-biased.
Yeah.
I mean, but you have to, anytime you do this, because I feel like anytime you have debates about, you know, big threes or who's the best, like, you have to, so that you're on the same page, you have to set the parameters of what we're talking about.
Because
you could just be like, okay, who gets the most reach? And that's the top three of who gets the most reach. Right. And that's, and that would be a very just factual conversation. It'd be like, okay, are we going based on views or?
So I guess the parameters that I would set, and I think because of the space we're in with hip hop, like, impact. Okay. What what platforms actually like move the needle. And it's like, you know, who are the people that have a pulse on what's really going on? Like that's that would be how I dictate like the big three.
Yeah. Well, I would take I would definitely put every because my timeline might be different because
that's what I was thinking.
I don't
too.
See shit with what Adam 22 is doing. Yeah. I honestly don't. I've successfully
you've curbed that.
I've curated my feed so that I don't see stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I would see in my world and in my feed and my social media land, I see the Breakfast Club stuff. I would probably see Joe Budden stuff, even though I don't really follow the podcast like that. I would see Joe Budden stuff, and then probably Gillian Wallow. Mm. In terms of my world.
Yeah. I would say for me, and Alex, you know this. I don't pay attention to hip hop media. Actually, ironically, I work in hip hop media. But I really was drawn to it for music. So I usually just pay attention to music. And I also don't like, I feel like everybody kind of repeats narratives. Mm-hmm. Another reason why I don't pay attention to hip hop media or Twitter. I hate Twitter. But but I would say for me, just from like, because I don't follow academics. I definitely don't follow Adam 22, nor does that stuff come my way. Mm-hmm. But the things that do end up coming my way, obviously Breakfast Club. Joe Budden, and I had to say academics. And, you know, some of these people that I just named, I'm not fans of everything that they do, but when it comes to just culture, impacts, and relevance, you know, it's happening. Yeah. Academics is getting the records early. Joe Budden is being featured in records. Charlamagne the Guy is being featured in records, you know what I'm saying? Breakfast Club is still having their pulse, not only in hip-hop culture, but just in American culture at this point. I think that's a more fair list, and this is no slight to Vlad, because I think what Vlad has built is dope and incredible and absolutely necessary. But I don't, you know, honestly, I'm just now seeing what Vlad even looks like. You know what I mean? To even have you considered a part of that conversation. Yeah. So
I would edit my. I mean, just to try to be non-biased about it, I got to put academics in there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take out Gillian Wallow.
No, keep them. I think that Gillian Wallow are.
I mean, they're doing their thing. If we're talking impact, you know, on today's music, I mean, there's no question what academics is built. Is huge, and as annoying as his voice is,
he's figured it out, man.
He moves the needle for sure. So,
all right, fair enough. Well, I wish you would have kept Gillian Wallow in there, just because Gilly actually has some really interesting comments to make about the ongoing rap feud between everyone, and you know his stance is that because the diss records aren't disrespectful. From like, you know, what Kendrick put out, what J. Cole put out, and even Drake's response, he doesn't look at this as a real, like, this is rap beef. Right. And I think you're actually probably a perfect person to speak to this just because you know, you're older than us, obviously. When you grew up, I'm sure, you know, the rap beefs that you've probably witnessed were a little bit more intense than what we deal with. So I guess like...
Let's play the clip.
I also think I'm with three people that are qualified to talk about what's happening right now. I'm seeing some people say, wow, so mature of J. Cole. I'm
so
seeing
mature.
Some...
Mature. It was... Jay is a guy. Great dude.
Respect.
It was a total move, bro. First of all, let's just be honest, bro. That's not no diss record. The big three. It's just big me. If that's a diss record, that's corny. I'm just being the last time I checked, diss records went like this. First off, you're in the click you claim. West Side, when we ride, come equipped with game. You claim to be a player, but I...
So, like, do disses have to cross lines? Like, you know, in rap feuds, or can it be, like, just, you know, a verbal back and forth of who's the wittiest, who's the most clever?
Yeah, I mean, so my take on it, like I had no problem with J. Cole apologizing. I thought it was mature of him. You know, hip hop turned 50 years old.
Yep.
So now we're getting to a point where you have fans of hip hop that are older, probably have different perspectives on things. you know, just in general, I feel like people have a hard time apologizing. Like, you don't see no apologies on Twitter. You don't see no...
Like, at all. Nobody,
so I thought it was big because it's like we're asking these cats to do something that nobody has really ever seen before. Like, yeah. In terms of, look, we don't have a problem with each other. Matter of fact, we've been thinking about making music together.
Yeah.
So you think that J. Cole's going to dip in his bag and create a hit-em-up record against somebody that we were going to potentially collaborate?
Yeah.
In what year have we ever seen people that didn't have no problem, like, just start going at each other viciously as what Gilly just suggested?
Yeah.
Like, who... All the stuff he's talking about came from like real situations, like real drama, real beef. You can't. I just don't envision a hit 'em up record from J. Cole. Like, especially at this age, like he's about to be 40. Like,
yeah.
What? Why would he want to be that angry?
I'm with you.
Like, these artists are at the top of the top, and what can you say about them? Like, what could you possibly say about Kendrick? These guys are at the top of the top, Pulitzer Prize winning, you know, platinum selling artists, selling out around the world. J. Cole, same thing, sell out around the world, you know, amazing music. Why are these guys in the top? Why are these guys the big three? Because they make great battle rap records. They're in the top three because they make great music.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the maybe with Cole. I think the issue that people take is, you know, for the last 3 years, like everything has been braggadocious about how I am just the best pen in the game. And I can, you know, you put whoever in front of me and I'm going to show you. So, and then for Kendrick to finally come out and be like, you know, like the big three that you guys talk about, it's really, I'm the one that you should have your eye on. I think that was the disappointment, was like, here it is, like kind of served up for you. Maybe not... like from a disrespectful standpoint, but from the competitiveness of like, you know, Steph and LeBron go at it in the finals and they can be friends afterwards. It's like, yeah. I think that's what we were kind of envisioning as opposed to like real drama.
But what's the equivalent to what you are expecting? Like what, name two artists in the past mm-hmm. that's the equivalent of what you're expecting that mm-hmm. has ever happened.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. But I think that's why we were hoping that it could be something, because it was like, we know this isn't real. This is literally just sport now.
And maybe I'm not tapped into J. Cole's lyrics like that, but is he saying, like, in his songs, is he saying, if you put any MC in front of me?
He's saying he the best out. He is saying he the best out.
But that doesn't mean...
No. Like, he is saying, you put anyone in front of me, and I'm...
Which, I mean, I'm not mad at that. He's still my favorite, you know? I think, I agree with you in a sense of, because of how hip-hop beats have traditionally went, I didn't expect it to go this way. So because he did apologize, it's like, well, what is this? This isn't what I signed up for. You know, I'm thinking I'm coming to see Steph and LeBron, and then it end up, you know, Steph's like, nah, I'm redshirted. You know what I mean? So I get that approach. But then, like Dame said, we already know these two are friends. And not only is it, it's not just like a typical beef. It's not one and two. It's one, two, and three. You know what I'm saying? So it looks like Cole sided with Drake. Like, just the optics, they look a bit nuts. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, we know you're friends with Kendrick, but then you're on a record with Drake, and then we know Drake and Kendrick hate each other, and then you're talking about the big three, but then you're saying you're best of the big three. You're saying you're Muhammad Ali. So I understand, and I think, I don't know if Cole was thinking about the optics. Like, I think he's just writing, he's friends with both of them. He's not really thinking too much of it. And I feel like he did apologize. And this is just what I think. I think he did apologize because he's friends with Drake. He's friends with Kendrick. He probably knows the animosity on both sides or whatever it is. And it's like, you know what? I actually don't want to be a part of this. I'm sorry that I even entered the chat. I'm just going to make my way out. Look, bro, you know, I think he tried to deliver for us because he knows that, hey, you know, everybody in rap, this is the sport, this is exciting, and then realize, like, this ain't me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't got to do something that's not me just to please you niggas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I really think that's what happened, and now he's like, I'm out.
So then, like, I guess for elder statesmen in hip-hop then, right? Because I think a lot of the backlash, too, that's been coming out has been with people like Styles P, for instance. Like, he came out and he was like, you know, I'm really conflicted because as an adult and a grown man, I love the fact that he apologized and recognized that, you know, this isn't him. But then, like, because I'm a rapper and because I'm an MC, like, I wanted to see that. And then, like, Jadakiss even went up on, like, the Stephen A. Smith show and was talking about, like, how he wanted J. Cole to go at him. 50 Cent, you know, the king of all beefs, 50 Cent, yeah, has come. So, like, is it on maybe, like, elder statement in hip-hop to be better guides and just be like...
I mean, I think there's different pockets. I you know, if whatever J. Cole decided to do, you know, I think makes sense. I think there's pockets of hip-hop that, you know, where you have back and forth. You know, there's people that got into hip-hop to just make party records, you know, Two Live Crew, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of, there's different pockets of hip-hop. So to me, and this is just for me as a fan of J. Cole, I didn't become a fan because, you know, he could battle somebody. I was a fan because of the records that he made, Love Yours, and, you know, that's not why I became a fan. So I get it if some people are disappointed, you know, and maybe it would have been fun to see him go back and forth. But again, we've never seen that ever, and I've never seen it, you know, somebody dip in their bag and do a hit 'em up for somebody that they're cool with.
Yep.
That would be weird.
That's well said.
Yeah, no, good point.
So yeah, I don't think it's going to have... I know that Maul from Rory and Maul said something like it's going to be career suicide. I think you not even said that.
No, like, whoa, never. I just said I was disappointed. No, I would never.
Throw him under the bus.
J. Cole probably going to get more fans for this.
Yo, I think so too.
In the long run, he's going to get more fans. You know, he's 40 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he don't... It just... I think he made a mistake by putting that record out there. It was a pretty lackluster record. I was like, you know, somebody should have stopped him from uploading that. But, you know, rappers, they just be talking shit all the time. We don't hold everybody to every single word that they say.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't. You know, now people want to hold Cole against every word and they're saying, like, I can't listen to him the same now. Like, those tweets are really pissing me off because it's like, yo, your favorite rapper has a ghostwriter and Ben has, you know, has had a ghostwriter for years, but you listen to him the same. You still in the club singing them records word for word, like he, you know what I mean? So don't do that to Cole just because you're mad.
Well, I think with Cole is because, you know, this is like me coming as a Cole fan, where because we held him to that standard of like, man, this guy really cares about the art of this. And it's like, look, we've had, as Cole fans, had to go through hell and hot water defending him from, like, all the boring takes, all the, like, you know, he makes sleepy music.
But who are you guys defending him against? He's selling out stadiums left and right.
Listen, it's fandom, man. It's fandom.
It's why I don't like Twitter, man. I hate Twitter. But I really do.
If you look at people's top 10, you're going to have at least, you know, there's going to be artists in everybody's top 10 that never battled anybody, right?
Yeah.
Well, that we know of. I mean, they might have battled somebody on the block or whatever. Who has Andre 3000 battled? And he might have battled somebody, but he don't have a...
Yeah, nobody that I know.
But we don't have a record from him that, you know, maybe coming up, he did. I'm sure he battled somebody at some point, but, like, he's in everybody's top five.
Yeah.
But I think the difference is, like, I don't know any Andre 3000 records where he's came out and claimed that he's the best. Or, like, literally called himself Muhammad Ali of the rap.
The best of what, though? The best at me telling you how many different ways I'm going to fake kill you? or the best at creating the best music? Like, what is it the best of?
I just want to get this off because you said this earlier. The tweet that I tweeted the day after Dreamville Fest was, I don't love rap for the ego. That was never the appeal to me. The real appeal for me is storytelling. I gravitate towards music that inspires me or gives me something to admire. That being said, after sleeping on it, I respect Cole's decision to live his truth despite what people may say. Still looking forward to the fall off because that line, reasonable doubt comparison, you know, got me anxious. I'm curious. But hold on, to the point about the drill records and the best at trying to kill somebody, I feel like if you guys are really, like, if hip-hop fans are that hungry for a diss record, go listen to drill music. There's literally kids right now you know, on their ops tombstones, doing all types of wild things. It exists. You don't got to put this on people who are storytelling or doing braggadocious raps.
But, I think there's like a slight discrepancy there in the sense that, like, those, I think people know that is too real. Like, it's like the drill stuff, like what's going on in Chicago, what happens in the Bronx,
Florida.
Like, I think there's like enough discernment to know, like, these are real beefs that are taking people's lives. People are going to jail behind that. Where, like, literally, this Kendrick, J. Cole, whatever, like, it just felt like sport.
No. Drake and Kendrick is real.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
So let them go. I mean, so let them go. If something that they have, I know they've been jabbing at each other for a long time. So, yeah. You know, hopefully people can get their popcorn out and that, you know, fulfills their desire to see, you know, two heavyweights go at it.
Yeah.
And again, if that's what you enjoy, then I respect that. That's not what I look for in music. And I don't think diss records have ever really gotten me excited. That's not why I listen to music. And I'm not knocking anybody in which that is why you listen to music or you enjoy it. I mean, people like WWE, people like all kind of things. That's cool. Yeah. There's just different pockets. It's dope that hip hop is finally maturing to a point where, you know, there's just different lanes and different perspectives. And I like that people have applauded J. Cole for the stance that he took. And I don't see nothing wrong with it.
So. Yeah. I'm not a fan of war just in my everyday life, but then also, you know, watching it. But I will say when Like That did drop, you know, Alex over here waking me out of my sleep. Hey, you gotta listen to this. I'm like, okay. And when I did listen, though I'm not a fan of war, I was entertained. You know what I'm saying? Because Kendrick's delivery, because, you know, Kendrick can be super nuancey and like hit you with double entendres. But he really gave it to you straight. Like, he fed it nice and straight to you. Like, each bar, you know, motherfuck the big three. Nigga, it's just big me. Nigga bum. Like, ooh. And then the nigga bum gave it, like, a moment to breathe where you lived with the previous line. Then followed up with nigga Prince outlived Mike Jack. Nigga bum. It was like, damn. Like, he just kept hitting me with shots. And I was able to track it. So, I would say, like, though I'm not a fan of war, I like the excitement of like the I didn't see it coming, mm-hmm. You know, the surprise feature, and like I didn't even know, you know, Drake and Future were beefing. I already knew Kendrick and Drake had their whole thing with rap, but I guess I'm saying all this to say I'm not a fan of war, but I am entertained by those who do like it.
Yeah,
like, but that don't mean I gotta participate.
Yeah, you know? No, it's cool. I'm just not gonna take you out of like top rappers of all time because you don't make battle rap.
Right? Oh my God. So when Academics was like, J. Cole was no longer in the big three, like you've been removed. Now it's Drake, Kendrick, and Future. Like, that was the most disrespectful shit I've ever seen. Are you kidding me?
To be honest,
a Fantastic Four.
To be honest, I think the worst thing about all of this in J. Cole's, for J. Cole is that he just left himself open to be a punching bag now. Because that's like, again, the maturity aspect of like, yo, just being able to say sorry to a friend, like, is really commendable. But because I think in the climate that we're in, especially with all the different people that have opinions on the matter, it's like, you know, we even have rappers like Simba, like literally within a week of the apology, he's already dropped a record. And that's going to be, you know what I mean? And that's why it sucks because it's like, man, it feels like this is he's being diminished to this apology.
But you know what? This isn't the first time he apologized. He apologized to Nas. He's been doing this.
What will prove my point, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. is when he drops his album.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
His album is going to go crazy. And there's probably even more interest now in hearing what he has to say on the fall off. Mm-hmm. So it's going to go crazy. And I like Simba too. I thought that was pretty whack of him, you know, because, you know, just to try to capitalize in a moment like that, that's not, that's No disrespect, but that's not your league, big dog.
Like, yo, punching up. That's what I said too.
That's not. You're sitting at like 200,000 monthly listeners. Like, you know, spar with somebody in your in your league. Like,
I said that too.
You know,
that's why trying to remove him from the big three is crazy. Because at the end of the day, this is his second time apologizing. You know, let it be known. But he's still a Titan. Like,
for sure.
So, you know, sure. HD Vendope also did one. There's a few rappers who are, like, coming for Cole. I'm just like, you know, do that with your class. There's a bunch of y'all. Y'all could go at it. But this is it's grown folk business right now. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really like that either.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been interesting to see. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, wow. Like,
but J. Cole ain't tripping about Simba or anybody else dropping a diss track. Like, I think he's in a place where he's comfortable. Like, so...
But, you know, Cole be embracing all the new rappers. He invites them to the Dream Revenge of the... What is it? Revenge of the Dreamers?
Well, yeah.
You know how they do those sessions and stuff like that. Yep. So I feel like, you know, I don't know. If that's like me coming at you, Dame. Like, why would I come at somebody where I can actually learn from?
Don't bite the hands that feed you.
Yeah, I would let those Titans do what they're going to do. Anybody else, you know, you haven't really earned the stripes to step into the ring with those guys. So, it's unfortunate.
there was actually an interesting article in the Huffington Post. They talked about this, about how, like, hip-hop has a maturity issue of, like, how can everyone kind of look at this as, like, a terrible moment for hip-hop when, like, this guy literally, you know, was just aware enough to apologize. And, like, though the article kind of ended up going off on a tangent about, like, this speaks about toxic masculinity in hip-hop and how, like, it shows, like, the homophobia and how, like, being a soft man, like, whatever is, you know, makes you less of a man. I guess the question I have for you guys is, like, do you feel that there is, like, this toxic, like, layer that we just can't break through as, like, a culture in hip-hop? Or, like, are we progressing, like, do you think, with this?
Culturally and musically, I would say yes, there is a toxic layer. But I don't think toxic masculinity really has anything to do with homosexuality in hip-hop. I think it's two different arguments, because toxic masculinity... Or if it does, you know, have something to do with homosexuality, I think it's neglecting the fact of what it does to women as well. Mm-hmm. So that's my only tidbit with that article. Like, I think the headline and then what it wrote about was kind of like veering into a completely different direction, where this is not what this is about. It's about hip hop culture and the people that are in it. But in regards to it being toxic, I think that's what Kendrick's last project was about, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Like, he talks about toxic relationships, which he's been doing that since, you know, Section 80 days. But he talks about toxic relationships. He talks about, you know, his aunt changing sexes. He talks about different things that culturally we're not used to. And I think because hip-hop comes from, you know, urban communities, broken communities, like, toxic is all we know. So that's why Cole apologizing, like you said, we're 50 years in now. We're seeing different generations. So I think we're supposed to progress. I think J. Cole doing this is a sign of progression. But because, you know, it's almost like, love you, dad. But, like, trying to get my dad to go to therapy would be like pulling teeth. Like, he don't want to go to therapy. He's a hood nigga. He don't want nothing to do with that. And I get it. You know, you come from the crack era. You lived a different life. So it's not for you. But it doesn't mean the next generation can't live a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that it is dope that, well, yeah, there is still a problem with homophobia and toxic masculinity in hip hop. But I think we have so many different voices. I mean, all voices may not be amplified, but I think we have a lot more diversity in music. And I think it's a great thing. You know, I think the Cole situation started conversations that we haven't had.
Yep.
And I think these conversations are healthy in terms of taking music to the next level or taking hip hop, you know, to the next phase. So, you know, I think different artists are going to see this and may feel comfortable creating something that they really wanted to create that maybe wouldn't have otherwise. So at the end of the day, I think this is positive. And just me personally, where I'm at in my life, you know, I'm 43. So I'm closer to J. Cole's age. I have no problem, you know, with an apology. I think more people need to apology. It actually, you feel better when you apologize.
Yeah.
You know, not knowing you wrong and keeping that in, like, that's got to eat at you.
Yeah.
You know, get that weight off yourself. So, you know, shout out to J. Cole. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a net positive even for him. You know, just wait. Just, is there a date for the fallout? When is the fallout?
Shit, we've been waiting for 3 years so far. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing I'm looking forward to listening to the music and just seeing what the reaction is, because, you know, I think a lot of people's takes are wrong in terms of, you know, what the impact's going to be.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
It's interesting. It's interesting how many different, like, topics this, like, feud has sparked. Because even, like, the AI, I don't know if you've seen it, but me and Nyla were talking about it, like, someone released a AI diss response for Kendrick to Drake. Yeah. I think his name was Sin the Rapper. And like, that's, me and Nyla have been talking about, like, wow, what is that gonna do for hip hop now? Like, is this something that, like, AI, it can be an enhancer for the space? Or, like, is this gonna be a detractor where, you know, like, we're kind of, like, we're losing the art now? Like, what does that, like, say to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, for me, anytime there's a new tool gets introduced, I think artists should embrace it and figure out how to use it to their advantage. Of course, you know, the word of the day is weirdo. Weirdos are going to take it and do some weird things with it. But especially in this day and age where the requirement is that you have to, you know, keep up with the output and create more than you've, you know, put out more music than artists in the past have had to put out music. So how could you use AI to enhance, like, your music and your messaging, your storytelling? That's how I would be looking at it, as a positive thing. How can you just use it as an additional tool in your tool belt? Just like Auto-Tune, right? Auto-Tune helped people be more creative, you know, do different things, experiment in different ways. You know, with the new AI, it's not going anywhere. So you might as well figure out, I don't know if you guys use ChatGPT, but I use it all the time.
Oh my God, for everything.
It saves a shitload of time.
Facts.
You know? But you don't, a lot of times you don't just take exactly what it spits out. You still have to massage it a little bit. Make sure it's representing your voice.
Yeah.
So for artists, it may maybe have writer's block, or, you know, just want a different perspective, or you can get more creative in less amount of time. You should embrace it, in my opinion, because I think it can help. Just don't do anything weird with it.
The date is weird. Don't be weird. I definitely agree with that. I think the scary part to the AI is just not knowing, and I guess we kind of been here within the journalistic world, but it's new to the music world. It's just not knowing, like, what's real or not. Because it sounds like a fire Kendrick diss record to me. Like, if Kendrick was to drop that, I would be like, yeah, this is tough. He even showed, like, he did a breakdown video to show, like, why he inflicted the tease, because he knows Kendrick hits these letters a bit harder and stuff like that. So just based off of, like, past resume, the way that you can mimic somebody is it's actually nuts. So my only, I guess, complaint is just not being able to tell what's real and what's not. But then again, there's a lot of people who sound smart online to somebody dumb. That's the same thing, you know? And that's real life. That's not even AI. So it's like, it's just hard for people to gauge authenticity.
Yeah, I wish there was some kind of just notation on, you know, content that gets uploaded to the internet that said, oh, this is AI or this is real. Yeah, it's a scary place.
They might have to make some laws on it, actually.
I mean, they're probably already kind of, like, potentially fighting for stuff like that. So,
I mean, laws are so slow. But, you know, especially with the video, you know, now with the video, You know, it's tough. It's going to be a wild, I mean, it's already a wild world, but.
Yeah. Right now we're in the wild, wild west stage.
Especially for a population that refuses to education, you know, refuses, you know, it's, yeah. I think as a society, we're just getting dumber. Yeah. And it's just going to get more, it's just going to get a lot easier to fool a fool.
Yeah.
So. No, literally every time a song drops right now, I'm like, I'm going to wait until the artist says something because I'm not jumping out the window claiming this. Yeah.
But it's getting good. I mean, some of this stuff is getting really good.
Yeah.
That's why I tell producers some of these beats that is produced from artificial intelligence, they may not sound good right now, but how do you continue to be, how do you continue to make production a career when I could click a button
and
come out with a banger?
Yeah, I think honestly for indie artists, I think the barrier to entry now, like the more AI is in place and gets better and better, I think for independent artists, the more prominent they're going to become because you essentially cut out a lot of like your expenses at that point. And I know I read an article like way back that said for a successful like musician who signed to a label, it takes like 33 people like that are from producers to people that are just working operations around their business to get them, you know, to a point where they're successful in making money. So I think for independent artists who have always wanted to do this on their own, this is probably like a great thing because it's like, all right, I don't want to pull a YouTube beat that everyone's probably already ripped. Let me just tell the AI the sound that I'm going for. Man, if I have writer's block, I can just tell it, these are some words, like help me fill this in, and then boom. And then even just refining like your voice. Like, if the AI is familiar with your voice now, it's like, man, I can just record a couple lines and have it do the rest for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's still about community building and storytelling. So, you know, if you're creating content, but you have the right messaging, you're telling the right story, you're telling a consistent story, and you're good at building community, you know, that's really what any content creator needs to focus. So again, all these other things are just tools. They're just tools to help you create more content to tell you so that you could tell your story, build, engage, and monetize your community.
Not gonna lie, I think that Hi Whitney record that came out that OVO Camp is claiming is AI. I don't think that's AI because just like the Kendrick record, the guy came forward and was like, yo, I made the record. Nobody came forward and said that Drake record was, you know, like, hey, I created that record. Not to mention in the background, you hear people in the back like laughing, like, hey, in the little clip. So I'm like, yo, that record doesn't give AI. And then also,
It's just confusing. But see, that's the, it's confusing. It's like.
It is confusing, but it. That record don't give AI. You talk about somebody's wife. That's crazy. This is crazy. That record don't give AI. But I also think it's like clever of OVO to put something out that's that disrespectful and then be like, oh no, that's just AI.
And just see, you know? Just see how people react to it.
Yeah. Like, no, that's just AI. I didn't say that. Somebody else is talking about your wife. Like,
okay. That might be a good marketing tactic, honestly, just for people in general. It's like you just drop a song, see how people react, and be like, oh no, that was AI. Like, I didn't really, that wasn't me.
Oh Lord. Yeah. I guess that's where we're at now.
Yeah. That's kind of the landscape of things in my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah. My first complaint, I think last year when the AI thing, I forget what was the first, there was a record that went viral that somebody created with AI and then.
Oh, they had like an AI rapper or something like that. Yeah.
It was like I think a rapper that was deceased that they did a record on. Anyway, I can't remember what it was, but when I first heard it, I'm like, it doesn't sound real because there was no like inflections and like it just didn't sound like the person. But after seeing the Kendrick diss and how he put that together, that sounded real. So like I think the more that people like refine it and use it, the more it's just going to be smoke and mirrors, you know?
Yeah. Nah, I mean, technology advances at such a rapid pace that, you know, we're not going to know what's AI and what's not.
Yeah.
I think the cool part, though, is, like, now, like, you know, when you think of like hypotheticals, like imagine knowing you could create your dream collaboration of like, man, like what would Michael Jackson and like J. Cole sound like on a song together? Or like Whitney Houston and you know what I mean? Like, think about that.
This Sunday, I'm about to have a Drake drop. He's like, yo, what's up, Nyla? I'm in New York City rocking with the pretty way, the certified vibe, Nyla Simone. Yeah. It's an OVO thing, eh? And then I'm going to get into Trump and give you I'm lying.
No, you're not.
Maybe.
You figure out how you can use these tools to your advantage.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, build your community. That's really what it's all about.
It's a good angle.
Because a lot of people reject technology, and then when they reject it, they end up, you know, paying the price for it, or you know, even with like rappers that didn't want to get on TikTok, mm-hmm. right, because it was corny. You know, now the algorithms change and it's harder to build on TikTok, and you missed a window of 3 to 4 years where you could have been
on top,
you know.
Yeah, so, and they got a whole TikTok charts now.
Yeah,
like as far as music, like
So yeah, it's just a tool. It's a tool in your tool belt. You should always have a long-term vision for what you're trying to build.
Yeah.
And just use those tools to get you there.
Has that ever happened to you where you like felt like you missed a window on like a piece of technology that came out?
I feel like we kind of missed SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. Like, because we really built our audience on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We were kind of a first mover on Facebook. Like, we really got a lot of traction on Facebook. And our music was on SoundCloud. Maybe it just wasn't a SoundCloud vibe because it was there, but it just wasn't a intentional push on SoundCloud. We didn't like really focus. Like, it was there, but it wasn't, you know, let's double down, triple down, figure out how to really push this through SoundCloud. Maybe SoundCloud.
Mm, got you. So like, after that moment, do you feel like you were like, this is never going to happen again? Like, whatever tool drops, I'm gonna at least have my pulse, like a pulse on it.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell creators, like, if there's another platform that you even think is gonna be relevant, make sure you at least get your real estate, you know, get your handle, whatnot. And you know, we're posting pretty much the same content on all these platforms anyway. Just continue to seed content there, and if it does blow up, then you already, you know, had a presence there. It's weird to me that we haven't seen something like after TikTok or since, especially since there's so many legitimate complaints that we have with some of these platforms. Yeah. It's weird to me that we haven't seen another like relevant platform emerge. So I'm keeping my eye open for something.
They've tried. A few of them have tried.
Shit. Everybody tries.
They make some of the dumbest mistakes, like the most obvious mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to slam any platform on here, but like, you know, if your platform is only just kind of mimicking
what's already
tools and certain that are already there, like on another platform, then it's probably not going to win.
Threads.
Yeah. I mean,
I like Threads though.
But Threads has a built-in audience
already, so it's easy to migrate that over.
Yeah.
That's not who I was thinking about, but.
You don't like that because Alex loves Twitter.
Oh, man, Twitter's I love Twitter because it's like the global town hall, right? So it's like, yeah, of course, like there's information on there that's just stupid. Not everybody should be talking, but just the fact that you can, if you curate your timeline well enough, you can actually get something useful out of it. So that's why I love, you know, Twitter, well, X now. But I know, you know, Elon's Twitter is...
I think I need help curating my timeline because the narratives that I see on Twitter, I really just be over. Like, it really just be jokes and ignorant shit that I see.
But it's like, so...
I love
nigga shit, so... But, like, I think to Dame's point earlier, when... basically, like, just the overarching theme of this convo about, like, finding people, like, with integrity... like on Twitter, you can find specific journalists. Like I follow a lot of just like sports journalists, right? So like there's a lot of people that talk about sports, but then there's people that actually like cover sports or like beat writers and have like insight. And it's like the same thing with like hip hop media. I think you can find people who like are actually covering it from like a tasteful perspective. Of course, like the hot takes are fun just because it's like, yeah, like just talking points. But there is... That's all it's about. It's like curating it to what you're really interested in. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Twitter's cool. I messed up all of my social media platforms because I should have started over when Funk Volume crashed and burned, because there's a lot of Funk Volume fans that don't rock with me anymore.
Mm. So, oh, you got a lot of trolls.
So there's a lot. I mean, they don't say anything anymore, but they're just dormant. They're, just, they're still there. They don't unfollow.
Yeah.
So, like, my engagement is low on my pages, and I probably should have just started from scratch. Like, once the label crashed and burned.
Complete rebrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So most of the negative comments has died down. Every once in a while, somebody will say something ridiculous, but, you know, I think most of that is over.
Yeah.
No more death threats. And,
oh, shit.
Not death threats? It was never that deep.
Yeah.
Sure. Yo, the same way we're fans of J. Cole and other artists, people were really, really tapped into Hobson.
Hopefully you guys aren't the equivalent of...
No. Not like that, but I'm saying, like, our fandom, so I guess I'm saying, like, we're fans, we're passionate about it, we love debating this stuff.
Yeah, I might comment.
But you're regular people.
Yeah. Some people go, like, even beyond that, you
and
know what I mean?
All those people have fake profiles, their page is on private, it's a picture of, like, a doll and a little thing, like, it's... They're not real, you know, not real people online.
It got wild. It gets wild. I've never in my life, like, met somebody that came with that kind of energy or that was, you know, that wanted to fight or anything like that. But online.
I had that static for you.
Yeah.
Online static.
it's wild.
That's funny. Oof. I had one person DM me with online static and... You know, I don't even want to go down this. But anyway, I don't want no problems. Look.
I mean, you got to be careful, though, because you just never know what people are capable of these days. You know, I could definitely see as a woman, you know, it's not a safe world. You know, how you navigate the world is different than how I navigate the world. You have to think about so many other things. So, you know, I'm not concerned about my DMs and stuff like that, but as a woman, I can see how it could get pretty scary. So
I had somebody pull up on me. What? Pull up on me.
And did what?
Leaving work. Follow me. I don't even want to do
that. I mean, didn't this just happen recently too? You said some guy was just like, he was waiting on the street, recognized you, walked over to the building.
Tried to walk up behind me, but you know, it has like those things, it enters and closes. So he walked past security, tried to walk in, tried to get in behind me, but it closed on him. Then the alarm rang off, and then he's like, check your phone. So I'm like, what? Check my phone. The first DM is like, you're so beautiful, right? But that was from like a year ago. Then the most recent one is like, hey, that was me downstairs.
Yeah,
but I don't even know what the hell he wanted. And the previous person, I don't even know what the hell she wanted. You know, it's just weird, man. Word of the day. What's the word of the day,
weirdos,
guys?
Weirdos, man.
Weird. That's why I feel like I grew up at a perfect time, because we didn't have cell phones growing up. So we had to learn to look people in their eye. We knew the consequences of talking shit. Like, you know, but I'm also young enough to... have technology introduced to me at a time where I can grasp it and understand it, take advantage of it. Because the communication skills and some of the younger folks, boy.
Yeah, I think that the pandemic had a real effect on like younger generations and like their social interaction skills. Just because like my little sister, she was, her freshman and sophomore year of high school were pandemic years. And I'm like, those are like crucial years of like, you know, social development, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't really think we've seen just how bad it is until like they become like adults. Like then I think we're going to really like see like, damn. Like,
not to mention, think about it. They're living like, you know, we kind of got to see it evolve, but they're in it. Like they grew up on iPads. You know what I mean? Like this is normal for them. So they're not going to be able to differentiate. Like to me, I always have this debate with Charlamagne. It's like, yo, people don't necessarily understand troll culture. Like you might be trolling, but to somebody who doesn't understand what trolling is, they think you're dead serious. You know what I mean? So for that generation, I'm concerned because I know they're not going to be able to differentiate what's real and what's not. And then also when I think about it, like, I feel like if you're a kid, like if the pandemic happened, when like I was still outside playing with my friends and stuff like that, I would be having a blast because I don't got no curfew. I don't got nothing to wake up to in the morning. You know what I mean? If it's just online school, then great. But I think the reason for like the teenagers who are entering that stage of I want to hang out with my friends all the time and then like the other layer of social media, I think it's going to affect, this is just my theory, I think it's going to affect that age group more than it's going to affect the kids, because I think the kids who aren't on the tablets are still playing.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope.
I just think, like, especially going back to kind of networking, I just think it's important to get in front of people, have real conversations.
Yeah.
You know, because some people, even their eye contact is weird. Their daps be weird. I'm like, where did y'all grow up? Like, how you got a funny, you know, when you like, you know, with the fellas, how we interlock hand, like, we can
not
tell.
Not like this.
No, I mean, I don't have another person. But I'm saying it's like, you know.
You could tell
somebody that just hasn't had a lot of friends growing
they
up.
They might need to implement socialization classes for humans at this point. You know how dogs have it? Like, after your dog is like 6 months, you want to get him into a socializing class so he knows how to act around other dogs. Uh-huh. We might have to do that for people.
Like reentry for when people come out of the feds.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think that might be necessary at this point because technology has got a hold on people.
Or maybe like etiquette classes, something like that. I don't know.
Oh, my mom made me take one of those.
But yeah. I mean, a lot of it too is just like getting forced to go outside and like trial and error. You know what I mean? Like you get around enough people. We were just talking about this on the walk over here. It's like you can tell like certain black people who didn't grow up around like other black people. Cause like, you know, it's just there's like a cultural layer that like dapping up, like knowing how to properly dap somebody up. Right. You know what I mean? Like that matters. Yeah. So you can always, you know, it's just like, you got to force people into settings.
Yeah.
I think to really build those skills.
That's funny.
But we're in a society in a society right now where you don't have to go outside. Like nothing.
Yo, academics don't leave his house.
But like me, I don't have to, like I work remotely. Like I don't have to leave my home if I don't want to. Like I could order food to my house.
Oh yeah.
All of my social interactions could be, you know, just strictly my screen. I could call, I could FaceTime people. You know what I mean? It's like incentivizing people to actually like want to do these things. Like how do you do that?
I forget which Asian country this is. My apologies, but there's one where the population of asexual people is higher than people who are interested in heterosexual relationships or homosexual relationships. So they don't even like one another. They like nobody.
Yeah, I think it's China.
They're asexual. Like that's their dominant sexuality choice out there. So and I think that's a technology thing because, you know, they're way more advanced than us when it comes to that. So I feel like we might end up going that way if, you know, we continue to keep implementing technology the way that we are.
Potentially.
Yeah. Well, for the creators, I mean, because you can build it. Again, it really just depends on what your end goal is, right? Like most creators that I know, artists that I know, it's important for you to develop like some people skills. It's important for people to get to know you, get to like you. So please get out of the house, interact with people. Mm-hmm. It's important. It's so important, you know, to build relationships in this industry. It's much like any other industry. It's about the relationships you build. And if you're weird, it's going to be hard to build those relationships unless you have a team that can help, you know, build those relationships for you. But you know, you just have to get out and talk with people, get feedback. The emotional intelligence is crucial.
Yeah.
By the way, you should start branding weird. Like that should be like,
I just don't have any other word that describes it better. Like cats be weird.
Cats be weird. You know what, that's what we're gonna name this episode.
Cats be weird.
Cats be weird. But I mean, on that note, I feel like we can end it on that. Dame, this was very insightful. Thank you for coming.
You don't want to do your Ashanti rant?
I was going to do my Ashanti rant. It was really more of an Irv Gotti rant and how disgusted I was and how he tried to blast Ashanti. But
What's the Ashanti rant? What happened to Ashanti?
Oh, no. Ashanti's in a great place. So really, I'm just giving Ashanti her flowers because I think Ashanti is very classy. She's had a great career, and I'm just really happy for her and Nelly because they're having, well, they're expecting a baby and they're currently engaged. So I'm just happy to see Ashanti as a career woman kind of get her cake and eat it too, because I know a lot of times they tell women you can't have both. And I love the way she's gone about it. So I just wanted to salute Ashanti, but I think it's ironic because the way that Ashanti and Nelly ended up reconnecting is because Irv Gotti was trying to blast her, saying that, you know, call her his old work, essentially.
That was weird, too.
Yo, that was mad weird. And super weird. Like, I would be disgusted if my father was on here acting like that about, you know, his artist when he was married or whatever the case. Like, the whole thing is just like, why would you even talk about it? If you're doing a documentary on Murder, Inc., then you should just focus on the music. And I think if he would have did that, she probably would have wanted to be a part of the documentary. But you're on here telling us stories about how you were grabbing her ass. And, you know, I just, like, don't sexualize women and then be mad that they don't want to be a part of your thing. So salute to Ashanti. I'm super happy for you and Nelly, and you know, I'm sending them love. That was my rant.
No, that's not even really, I wouldn't even call that a rant. That's just, I think it's, yeah, I think it's great that, you know, as you get older. I'm just had my second anniversary. I've been married for a couple of years now. I feel like, you know, relationships and love, and it was easier when you're younger, and when you wait, as you get older, it gets a little bit more complicated because you feel like you know more than you do. So I think if now they've circled back and everything is love, then I think that's amazing for those two, especially in an industry like music where, you know, it's just unlike any other industry. So salute to them. If they're happy, it's amazing.
Hardest part about marriage?
It ain't hard. I'm waiting to find the hard part. Aww. To be honest with you. Like, everybody keeps telling me marriage is hard. It ain't been hard yet. You know, so I'm waiting. Maybe eventually, you know, we're trying to have a child. That's been hard, but I don't, you know, other than that, that has nothing to do with her and our relationship, yeah. You know, so I look forward to the hard part. If it's hard, I feel like you didn't get in it with the right person. So
true enough.
You know, maybe I'll end up eating my words, but I don't think so.
I don't wish that on you. Yeah. Sending you love as well. That's great.
Appreciate it.
Shout out to you. And shout out to you guys for listening. Make sure you guys tune in to We Need to Talk every Saturday. We're going to do these deep dives. And again, Monday and Thursdays, we drop new interviews from some of your favorite artists, influencers, and actors. Thank you guys for joining me. Remember the word of the day, well, the phrase, don't be weird.
Don't be weird.
Take that note for as you enter the next week. Until next time, guys, talk soon. Peace. That was great.
So you got, how much y'all got going on? You got this?
What you mean?
Like, in terms of the different pieces of, like, the different things that you do. Like, so for Big Job, for example, you have Blackbusters that drops on Monday.
Yeah.
And then that's really the only thing that drops every week. And then his sketches drop, you know, when they drop. We have a new series dropping the end of this month or early next month. But I feel like you have, like, hella stuff going on.
Yeah. Hold on, I'll break it down for you. Should we get a drop from him?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you do a We Need to Talk drop for me?
What do you need me to say?
Just say, what's up, guys? It's Dame Ritter. I don't know. We never did this for the Saturday show.
Director, what's up, guys? It's Dame Ritter. You may have seen me.
We Need to Talk? Is this We Need to Talk?
Yeah.
To this one right here?
Yeah, so just, like, shout the stuff up. Okay. Shout out the stuff that you're doing. And then just say, we need to talk at the end, right? That's basically it.
Yeah, what's up, Nyla? We need to talk.
Yeah.
What's up, Nyla? We need to talk.
Yeah, into that camera.
Okay. What's up, y'all? It's Dame Ritter, Director of Communications for the best music distribution platform out there, Two Loss. What's up, Nyla? We need to talk.
Like that? That's good. That's perfect. Right, cool. But, so in here, for We Need to Talk, we shoot, well, we release two episodes a week. We kind of just shoot however they come into the city, like, or whoever hits me up, we'll just shoot, well, if I like them. And then we drop two episodes a week with that, and then we're doing this as a weekly roundup just to get a different demo, because the interviews are more so, if you're interested in me, that's like one small pocket, but then if you're interested in the artist. So in order to grow my demo, we want to do more things that show how I think and like the people that, the type of conversation I want to have with people I'm interested in. So that's the whole Saturday thing. And then outside of that, with Certified Vibe, it's just a monthly showcase, but we're really working on building that up into the label. And through that is with the DJing and the TikTok live sessions. So with the TikTok live sessions, really, I'm looking for hit records to include on, like, my sets. You know, even if they're not big artists, my whole thing is just highlighting people. And I like to be, like, their first. Like, I love people. Like, yo, you're the